turn with me. I guess we're done. I don't know. We may talk a little bit more about other stuff. Turn with me to the book of Jude. Hallelujah. Boy, Wednesday night, y'all need to be here and you need to get people to come. I'm telling you, if I don't even have a Facebook, and the church doesn't have Facebook, but all of y'all that have anything that you can post up, brag on God as much as you can about what's happening. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to post this every service. The guys will do it for me, but anybody that's listening around the world that's just come on and just randomly looking at YouTube, you can find all of our services at bronkflint.org, bronkflint.org. And send us an email. Send us an email from around the world. Tell us, just say hi. Send us a prayer request. I personally pray for all those prayer requests that come in. So we appreciate it. We are in week 17 of, and the next to the last week of bayonet training, the ready reference. Next week will probably be the very last week of this particular series, and that's when we will give you the ready reference and just share with you, you know, the last of everything that God has given us on this particular, just summarize. That's what we'll do. We'll summarize everything that God has given us on this particular series. Now, we're going to read once again, because it's really short enough that we can, the 25 verses of the book of Jude. And those of you that have not read any Bible this past week can feel good that you read a whole book of the Bible. Praise God. I want you to feel good. I don't want you to have a condemned Sunday. I want you to feel really good. And you can just say, I just read a whole book of the Bible. Chapter? What you talking about? I read a whole book. Praise God. So, but before I do, I want to read to you a particular prophecy that I picked up from the internet by looking at Pastor Dave's website, and they send out prophecies for all of you that are signed up. You can easily, it's for free. They'll send you the prophecies that are coming out of there as well. And I really don't know who. I suspect I might know who gave this. I don't know for sure, but it doesn't matter. But it really is, identifies what we've been teaching. And I'm not going to, for sake of time, if you have not heard previous messages on bayonet training, please go back and pick up those messages and listen, because there's a wealth of knowledge and wisdom in them. But I'm going to read this prophecy, and I think it identifies with where we are studying and what Jude says here concerning the end times. Now listen to this. You'll just have to give a listen, and I'll read along, and in just a moment I'll look up and continue to admonish you. But this is a prophecy, and the title that they have, subtitle is, Earnestly Contend for the Faith, Continue in Edification. I say unto you that you would earnestly contend. I say unto you that you would earnestly contend for the common salvation, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I exhorted you that you would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, that would build yourself up, that you would build yourself up in edification. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. I wrote unto you that you would contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, that you would stay in edification. For there were men that crept in unaware, that brought in lascivious doctrine, that turned my grace into lasciviousness. I exhorted you to contend for that faith, that it would be delivered again to the saints. But know this, that as it is delivered back into the saints, the first thing that will be eradicated is the lasciviousness that crept in, that turned my grace into something that it was not. So don't think it strange, as this is coming back stronger and stronger. The truth, grace, that I delivered unto you in my Son, the finished work of the cross, for men that crept in unawares was not my will. They polluted my doctrine. They polluted my word. They polluted my will, and they steered my body off. I am so thankful that I have had a body that has continued in edification so that it might once again be restored. But think not it strange as it is restored that the faith that was once delivered, it has been restored in degrees already and is going to become stronger and stronger and stronger, because the faith that once delivered was a message that said, the grace of God, the true grace of God that I have delivered through my Son, Jesus teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously, soberly in this present world. And that is my grace. It is being restored into my body, and it will continue, and it will go beyond that into the fullness of all that I am. So continue in edification and embrace my truth that is being delivered. Embrace my change that I'm bringing. For I am the Spirit of holiness, and I can reveal nothing else but this. And I have sent my Holy Spirit to bear witness unto your spirit that you are a child of God and that you are a child of holiness. For I said, be holy, for I am holy. Now, they reference for a foundation to this prophecy, Jude 1, 3, and 4. So we'll read that. I won't read that present tense. We'll read that as we read the chapter. Titus 2, 11 and 12, which you heard in that prophecy, which says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In 1 Peter 1, 5, or 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now let's look and read together, you following along with me, because it surmises and gives us again the capsulization capsulizes Jude and what we'll say at the very latter part, and we'll try our best not to comment until we get to the very end. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write again, or write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these are filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those which things they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished with the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. They, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we get to the end of this, and next week we'll have a just one handout to give to each of you. And then we'll put a PDF up on the website file so people can look at it who have followed this particular teaching. One of the things that we want to really reiterate is the necessity of love, and that everything that we do and say is predicated, it's built upon love. By this shall they know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So ours is not an argumentative type stand. We haven't gone, by the grace of God, I don't believe that we've gone one degree off, but we've kept that 0 degrees, headed straight north, which is into revival, not blaming anyone, not putting any accusations. Our words, we've tried to follow with factual statements and help people understand. But one of the things that we, from the very beginning, understand about this whole series was this, is that this thing had come to a fullness. The cup had come to a fullness, so that there was so much being discussed in the body of Christ, it was apropos to begin to say things and to name names and to give direct quotes and those kinds of things. Do you understand, or I hope that you do, is that this world is on a collision course with destiny. The book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, all those things are coming to an end. They're going to culminate in some really rough times, but there's going to be an immersion, an emitting. There's going to be a body that's going to come out of it, very, very powerful. It's going to look like it's going to lose strength at times, because that's the great apostasy that's prophesied as well by Jesus and by the apostles. In other words, because of the love of this world, and because there's going to be so many distractions, you can look around you. I'm not discouraged at all. I'm just using it as an example. You can look around and see that as of yet, there are a lot of seats that are a living example that there are distractions. And there are things that have come to distract people's lives. And Candy and I, we don't do this as a memorial to for any unjust reasons. But the other day, for whatever reason, I think it was on our date day, we were talking about, in an enjoyable way, we're talking about the very best of people, the things that made us laugh about this person and that person, and we thought about through the years. Now, it's not my intent to ever, certainly not to lie or even to exaggerate. Unless people know I'm exaggerating, and then, you know, if you can, then it's justifiable. If you tell something that's, what you know, extremely, and it serves as an example, and everybody goes, I know that's. But if I were to calculate all the people that have come to this message and said, my God, these are words of life. These are, I can identify, this will steer me into my next step into God. This will steer me into destiny. This will steer me into a future, irregardless of how vibrant they were about the blind seeing and the lame walking and all those kinds of things. In other words, we who love Him, our first identification is we want to become like Him. That's, and then part and partisan to all that is all the incredible calling card miracles. And Jesus just loves people. You know Jesus loves people. You can't separate the gospel of good news from the power. You can't. They're one and the same. That's salvation. But even when people have come in and said, you know what, they've kicked the tires a little bit, looked under the hood per se, and said, man, this is it. This is it. Maybe they didn't fall in love with the power so much, but they said, man, I believe what that man's saying. I believe praying in tongues, an avid life of praying in tongues and doing these kinds of things will get me to from A to B and probably solve a whole lot of junk in my life. And if we calculated, if not all of you, but if we were to calculate all the people that has come through our ministry in the last 20 years, I dare say that, well, I'm sure there's not a church in Immokalee that could hold us. I'm sure of that. I would say it would very well be, it could be in the low thousands. And they were like, man, this is it. This is it. Because there's just waves after waves after waves of people that I have known that sat in your seat. Maybe not in this, not right in your seat, but sat. And I'm saying that not to scare you, but to say this. None of those people thought that they would not be here with. Almost all those people thought they were going to walk this walk to the end. Do you understand that? They became, you guys are listening real good, or you're just, nobody thought they were going to be a victim. I'm really, really, I hate this, but they're, statistically, some of you are victims, I hate to say that. Some of you, if statistically this continues to play out as it has the last 20 years, some of you are statistically victims. In other words, 3 years from now, not to my fault, not because I made you mad necessarily or did something wrong, but something statistically is going to take you out. In other words, you'll be whatever. Why? Because the enemy, God has a plan for your life. The enemy has a plan for your life. What you feed is going to grow. It's going to grow. And I'd say we could, if everybody would have stayed, probably a church of a couple thousand, maybe. Several, at least several hundred. Is that that's not an exaggeration, is it? Several, maybe. Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that said, I love it. You can keep your miracles, but this will help me to get to point B. Statistics. I don't know. I can tell you where a lot of them are at. And not all of them went back into the world. But some of them have gone back into the world. One of the calling cards to of all of this has been this message, the radical grace message. That's helped take not all those people, flesh in different ways, took people out. But this is a major end time thing. Now the latter part of this chapter is incredible because we've seen this so many times, but just because it's so powerful, look at verse 18. It says, this is what Jude says. He says, I told you this, beloved. In verse 17, I told you this, how there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lust, and they separated themselves. There's a separation that comes. They'll be sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, but now, what he does here is he shifts. He shifts here to the end time remedy answer. In fact, we'll call this lesson 17, the end time, the answer for the last days. Okay, well, let's name it the answer for the last days. This is the answer for 2016 and beyond. Here it is, because there's so much diversion coming, and there are so many things that will separate them. Having not the Spirit, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, folks, if there's anybody here that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not a sub-Christian, but in other words, you are a first-class citizen of heaven. You're going to heaven. But here is an anointing that comes on top of, and it also serves a purpose for the end time. Jesus saw, or the Holy Spirit saw, through Jude, what was going to be coming to the end time, all kinds of things that would be sensual and separate the body. And so he says, here's another application to your inoculation, which is praying in the Holy Ghost. So if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and you're watching this, write me. I'll get back in touch with you. I'll share with you how you can be filled at home. If you're not filled in this service, come up and see me. We can get you filled with the Holy Spirit right out, if you're born again and you want to be filled. So very simple, very powerful, very intimate. But it says here, he says, separate themselves, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And these are intricately linked, and they're almost like stair steps in going forward in his writing. Keep yourself, like this praying in tongues will build you up. Now I'm adding this, and then it will catapult you or keep you. It will keep you in the love of God. As a result of that, looking, now I'm adding these words, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's his mercy for us, but it's also for the mercy of those ones that he's about to, in context of the ones that he's about to mention. Because he's mentioned all of these mockers and scoffers and those that would follow them. Remember, I don't know if you remember, before we left, we did the teaching on, I'm melting. Do you remember that? That's how the human born-again spirit can literally die after a long season of walking after the flesh. And as a result of it, of walking after the flesh, we taught on that. And that was comical, but it served a purpose. And then we taught on the tree and how he mentions here, there's four parts to the disintegration of the tree, that it's life. Your born-again spirit, how that born-again spirit can actually go from life to death. Takes a period of time. We'll read something as we close here this morning that the Holy Spirit gave me just to kind of capsulize this morning. But he says here that praying in the Holy Ghost will keep you in the love of God, and it will look for the mercy unto eternal life. That's where we're at, and that's why I said everything that we do has to be predicated on love. Even this teaching, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at the people that left here. I'm not mad at I'm not upset that we don't have maybe a couple thousand people. We're going to have a couple thousand people and beyond. But I'm telling you, I'm not mad, upset at anybody. But I can tell you this, message, and if we keep doing this, it is part and partisan to what will harvest, bring in the harvest, because it looks for the mercy. Do you know the whole teaching when Jesus said, whatsoever you seek, you'll find, that whole thing? What are the parts of that? Whosoever, help me out here, seek will find, ask, what's it? Ask, will be given. All that was about the man going to his friend at midnight to ask for bread. Now, you can if you read that parable, that whole thing, there's no way to get anything out of it. That's not you seeking God for a new car, a new house, a new this. That whole parable is about this. You going to ask, and then at the end of it he says, and if you ask, you being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more will the Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? And the Holy Ghost there is not really per se about you receiving the speaking in tongues. It's the gift. It's the John ask life for them, and He'll give you life. It's you going to the Father and asking bread and saying, Father, I have people that I want to get born again. I'm seeking you on their behalf. I'm praying. I'm asking on their behalf. Whatever I seek, whatever I ask, I'll find. God, you're going to give me this. It's the bread. It's the anointing. It's the love of God looking for the mercy for those. It's your intercession. Listen, if you don't pray, they won't get saved. Do you understand that? He's done all He can do. He's just been nailed to the cross one time. If you don't pray and if you don't stand, this is why I'm begging you. Listen, somebody that is very, very close, very, very close to us and this ministry, if I name this person's name, you'd say, my God, I know that person. I know that they hear from God, has stood in this pulpit, shared with Candy and I a dream that they recently had. And it was not a scary dream. It was a warning. And they admonished us about what is coming and what is going to be released against the body of Christ. And they said to us, and we went out of there feeling edification, not feeling like, oh, my God, fear. No, but they said in this dream, and this person, believe me, this person knows how to receive from God. And they gave us a warning how important it is to cover our children and cover our families, because they saw death and they saw people, different people. And since they'd had that dream, two or three people that were family members of other people had either been killed in car wrecks or killed in this and that and the other. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, just cause, this is real important. There's no fear in this. I'm just telling you, just cause you rub shoulders with somebody, that don't mean that doesn't get it done. You are an individual. Though the word says, though hand join in hand, now and I can't remember. No, though hand join in hand, the essence of it is that will not keep judgment from taking place. Now I'll look that scripture up and I'll give the, I hate to quote something and not give it all. And in other words, don't go through a pretense. Don't lip this. Please don't lip this. And that's not to scare anybody. But listen, there's stuff coming down the pike. I want to get you ready for it. Is this too strong? It's not too strong, is it? Thanks. I want to get all of you ready for it. And they said, this person said, I mean, you don't have to walk around. I just plead the blood. Jim taught us better than that. Yeah, that was a good lesson. And you don't have to do that. But two or three times a week, spend that time. Father, I'm releasing the angels of God. I'm telling you, they're not going to die. They're not going to be destroyed. Highway 82 is not going to take them. This is not going to take them. That's not going to take them. Glory be to God. Just because you say I am a Christian is not going to get her done. That's not going to get her done. Hallelujah. And so these would be they that have sensual separated themselves. They've left. Could probably be 2,000 or 3,000 of us by now. If that's an exaggeration, forgive me. I'm not. It just seems like it to me. It has to be up in the hundreds. It has to be. Has to be up in the hundreds. But ye beloved, doing what? Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Doing how do I get that done? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Develop. Listen, don't be ashamed. Even if you're not spending, you know, we talk a lot around here about having a private prayer closet. That's the best. Okay, that's the best. Okay, but please, if that's not happening, don't just give it all up. You know, and don't just say, well, man, I'm not living up to some kind of, ladder, plateau, or something that Homer or Pastor Bronk or somebody, you know, they're testifying. Listen, if you don't have a private prayer life in a closet somewhere, and I mean, you know, you're spending a designated time where no, you're not doing anything else. If that's not happening, I'm not giving you an excuse, but don't just say, well, I'm a failure. Just pray as you go. Pray in tongues as much as you can as you go. Pray in tongues so softly. Well, I don't have much of a language. Do you got one word? Yes. Well, say that one word over and over and over. You're going to wake up one day and you'll have two words. You'll have three words. You'll have four words. Say it over and over and over. It's like priming the well. Eventually, that thing's going to be a gully washer. It's just going to come, and it's going to come, and it's going to come. And, you know, however long it takes you to get into that place of prayer, that's going to be okay as long as you don't stop just praying in tongues as you go. Cook, clean, wash, work, stay, I mean, whatever your station is, you know, at work, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Is that a message or what? Pray in tongues. That's it. So here, it says, and this, looking unto the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And you know what this is saying? That by the love of God, the love, and even when we get this ready reference, don't take it and argue with it. You're not going to really get anybody that's really staunchly in the radical grace movement. You're not going to really, if you strike up an argument with them, Pastor, can you, I believe I can say this, in love, I can hold my toe-to-toe. I mean, I don't think they could give me anything that would stump me. I'd just be able to quote another scripture back to them and say, well, yeah, but what about this? That's not going to win them, though. That's not going to get them over. It's the love of God. And if anybody's questioning, then you, by the love of God, will say this. So by compassion, by the love of God, we're going to be able to, not only the ones that have went amiss, but this great harvest. Folks, there's a harvest coming. Man, there's a great harvest. Gabino, man, you just blessed me this morning, man. I looked over there, so I was worshiping this morning. Oh, by the way, do y'all know we have pre-service worship? I don't know if y'all know this or not. Now, that's an announcement. Yeah, praise God. We have pre-service worship. Would you believe it? Isn't that amazing? And I looked over and I said, who is that? Who is that? Doesn't he look good this morning? He's so handsome. Man, I'll tell you what. When he first come in, how can I say this without... I got to be nice to you. I got to be nice to me, because when he first came up, what was that, year and a half ago, 2 years ago maybe now? Yeah, maybe 2 years ago. In the natural, I wouldn't have given him 10% chance, 5%. That's why you never judge in the natural. His brother brought him up, and here's the deal. When people bring somebody up, it usually 99% of the time it don't work. 90% of the time it don't work. Well, I've seen mamas drag their, come on, and he's like, okay, mom, I'm going, but I'm going to get drunk after this. I'm going to pray right now with him. I'm going to get stoned after this. You know, it don't work. You know, don't drag anybody to the altar. His brother had him up here, and he was having some trouble. And then I thought, well, okay, two things here. His brother brought him up here, and he's in trouble. You know, everybody turns to God when they're in trouble. You know, everybody does. Man, he got through his trouble, and he's still serving God. Man, hallelujah. I'm proud of you, boy. Proud of you. Man, oh, man, oh, man. That's good. So... We're going to save some by just the love of God's going to just grab some. And that's what we have to, that's the posture that we have, that's the poise, that position is just love everybody. And some are going to appeal to just like, wow, they've got so much love in their life. And then some, basically, it says this, some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some, you're going to just have to, excuse my expression, scare the hell out of them. That's the only way. That's it. Save with fire. In other words, you know what? If you follow this, you're going to burn. You're going to burn. I'm not happy about it, but you are going to burn. And you'll hate, in other words, you'll have to go in there with asbestos gloves because their life is going to be so messed up. And it's a mixture here. It's the world, and then it's also Christians standing well-meaning, but they just mindlessly. I mean, if they wanted to, if they'd allow me to systematically say, okay, no, wait a minute. Will you conclude what is right or wrong based on a systematic study of the Word of God? If they would have do that, then I would systematically go through line-on-line teaching and show them how that their what they're understanding is absolutely a falsehood. I believe by the Holy Spirit I could convince them this is. But when people stand up because they've heard some other preacher say, "He's forgiven us. He's forgiven. There's no need for repentance because He's forgiven us, past, present, and future." If I could just take and say, "Look, let me show you that there's not a remote scripture. There's no remote scripture that backs up what you've just said." Homer, he tickles me, but he does it so good. He does it perfectly. I was listening to the sermon he preached on Sunday when I was gone, the Sunday sermon. It was so good, really so good. And man, he'll just almost badger you. Now hear what I got to say first before you judge this. Don't get up. He'll do it 20 times. And he honestly, he needs to. Because I've had people that before you ever hear my point, you judge it and leave. And if you don't leave in physically, you'll just leave in your brain. I had a guy one time tell me, "You know what? When you start talking about stuff I don't agree with, I just do something else in my mind." I said, "I appreciate that." Well, I thought, I mean, I don't know if I told him that, but I've had people get up and leave before they heard what I had to say. Now, here's the deal. If you can't at least hear somebody, what they have to say, that is a strong mark that you're afraid that what you're standing on is not right. If you can't give somebody the time just to relax and say, "Okay, tell me everything you want to tell me, and I won't go someplace in my mind, I'll really listen, but as long as they've got to have the defense up, they're scared. And if they have to leave before you even get done, they are doubly scared that what they're trying to keep, they're having to protect because they're really not sure. I can hear anybody say anything and be cordial to them. But then I'm going to give them the truth. So he says this, some you'll have to save by, excuse me again, scaring the hell out of them. You'll have to say, and hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In other words, whoo, stinky, stinky, stinky. Okay, come on out of there. Come on, precious. Come on out. Y'all come out of there. Y'all separate. Y'all been living together too long. Are you born again? Yes. Well, who gave y'all the excuse to do this? Well, it's all by grace. No, precious. Now I'm gonna switch over to the hell part. Do you want to be saved by love or do you want to be saved by fire? Because you got a choice. Come on out of there, and let's get y'all separated. Get y'all some marriage counseling, and then y'all can get married and have a good life, have a bunch of kids and stuff. But if you keep doing that because you think that this is all by grace, Somebody's going to wind up in a place they don't want to. Oh, my God, that's just good preaching. I'll high-five myself, glory to God. So he says here, finishing this up. Now he says, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How many of you know this is really something of great joy? Let me read this to you and then we'll close. It's a little bit. Jude verse 20 teaches us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Where does this building up take place? It does not take place in your body. This is not a physical thing. It doesn't take place in your mind, but it's in your spirit. If you're born again child of God, then your spirit has been reborn or created again in life by the Holy Spirit. It is a state of being, but even in that state of being, it also has the quality to be nurtured, empowered, and built up by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Smith Wigglesworth was accustomed to saying this, I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than on the outside. Hallelujah. That's what all of us should become. 1,000 times bigger. I mean, you see that little girl, or you see that little woman, or you see that big man. The stature doesn't matter on that exousia that can grow on the inside. Smith Wigglesworth says, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside. Hallelujah. You ought to be a wrecking ball going someplace, or a freight train going someplace to happen. When you get there, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. The spirit man is supposed to grow in strength and authority throughout life's existence. It was conceived in full righteousness, according to Ephesians 4, but it can gain in strength as in authority and dominion throughout a lifetime. It is supposed to exercise dominion over the flesh, sickness, sin, disease, the world, and all the works of the devil. And the reverse of that also is true. If we live after the flesh, we shall die, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. This death is a death of the spirit man. It does not take place on an immediate basis, but in a process of increments. And remember the tree? Remember how we said, and we gave that illustration, I'm melting. So a death can take place to the spirit man, but it takes place, and it takes time. It takes that oppression. Spiritual anemia is the reason that many Christians become acceptable to so many different things, including false doctrine. Spiritual anemia. Well, is there any... It's when you, on the inside, your spirit man's not being fed. It's not being fed Word of God, and it's not being fed spiritual nutrients that come by praying in tongues. Just as the physical body's immune system becomes acceptable to disease if the body is an anemic, and that's a lack of healthy red blood cells, as you well know, this can serve as an example to understand the attack on the born-again human spirit. The remedy to all this is the inoculation against deception, which comes through praying in the Holy Ghost. This serves as one of the ways in which God builds up your spiritual immune system. Obviously, reading the Word, that's another one. This feeds your spiritual tree, that's your born-again man, with healthy spiritual nutrients. Jude is saying the same thing that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:4. When you remember when Paul wrote, he said this, the man that does this builds himself, edifies himself. The word edify means to build up, thus the importance of praying in other tongues. Build yourself up, Jude 20, or edify yourself, same thing, means to build yourself up. So we see that praying in tongues builds us up and inoculates us, but it also serves another important purpose. It is a direct link to the love of God. The love of God is intermingled with the power of intercession, standing in the gap in the last days and making the difference. Do you see how this is? Praying in tongues, it's a self-imposed inoculation, but it also launches you, or it brings in more of the love of God into your life, which in turn also causes you to become an intercessor And that intercessor is outside of yourself. It begins to move outside, tsunami outside of yourself, enables you then, it says, as the Holy Spirit had me write, this powerful gift of praying in the Holy Ghost has not only served the body of Christ throughout the centuries, but it serves as a direct catalyst in these last, very last days to preserve people from apostasy while also enabling them to rescue others. This gift has always been current, but it takes on more of an understanding of its significance in the last days. Do not be fooled. This is very important as we close. Do not be fooled by the church or ministries that acknowledge the gift and yet still walk in mega forms of false doctrine. This also is a created argument of Satan against the truth that says this doesn't work. This argument says, see, anyone can be right or wrong. This is meant to extinguish the hope of the Word of God, which reveals this gemstone. What gemstone? Praying in tongues. In other words, well, Pastor, don't they say that they believe in praying in tongues too? Yes, they do. And wouldn't that be a tremendous argument that Satan would use? Like, well, it's left up to, you know, or roll the dice, whoever, I don't know, maybe you're right, maybe they're right, I don't know, because both of you say you pray in tongues, and you're saying praying in tongues is the plumb line. But listen, the secret in this is in the doing. It's in the doing. It's in the doing of the saying of Christ. Jesus said that the man that hears his sayings and does them is as a man that built his house upon a rock. The winds came, the floods came, and it could not be destroyed. The contrast of this is also true. In other words, if you don't do it, this is his word. But unless you take his word and do his word, you're not building your house upon the rock. You're not. His sayings and his doings, or the saying and the doing of his word, is the rock. That's the rock. Jesus is the head of the church. All the mind of God is passed down from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures say in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what Jude said came, what we just read from Jude, came from Jesus. Do you understand that? Jude wrote it, but it came from Jesus. I mean, it's just what Jude wrote is just as much the sayings of Jesus as if Jesus had said it on the Sea of Galilee. Do you understand that? It's just as anointed. It's not, the Word of God is not less. In other words, what Jude said is not a little bit less because Jude said it and not Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. All Scripture. So the words of Jesus are not more anointed than the words of Jude because they all came from Jesus. All of it. Got it? Amen. Okay. So what Jude said came from the Holy Spirit, and that came from Jesus, the head of the church, spoke through the writings of Jude. So we just read that. So in essence, these are the sayings of Christ, just as anointing as Jesus had spoken them himself. Therefore, it is not the acknowledging of the power of tongues, nor is it even in the acceptance of the gift of tongues alone that brings the building up of the inoculation, the love of God, or the intercession. But bottom line, it is the doing. In other words, you must pray in the Holy Ghost. And I can promise you this, that those who get off or those who teach, they are not actively. They cannot be spending time immersing themselves in that gift, that heavenly language that teaches us the true degrees of north, which is, by compass, the truth of the doctrine of this word. You can't spend hours praying in tongues that the Holy Spirit, even if you get off a little bit, He will eventually get you right back on course. It's the inoculation against deception. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Stand with me. Be here at 6 o'clock. Wonderful service. Can't wait to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Woo! Did you get anything? I appreciate it. God bless you. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. Powerful, powerful presence of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us in the past and where we're going in the future, and we thank you for that. We ask you to bless now your people, keep your hand upon them in this day, and cause us to walk in the unity of the faith, all speaking the same thing and coming into harmony with what you have to say and do in these last days. Immokalee is in revival, and all the places around the world who speak this truth are in revival. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning.